plus 49.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Plus 49. Today I'm your host, Marlene Bacher, and I'm delighted to have you with us for today's show. Whether you're tuning in from Berlin, Hannover, or beyond, we've got stories and voices to keep you connected to life in Germany. This week in the news, we look at what it really feels like to find a sense of home in Germany. From fresh research on refugees' experiences and integration to debates swirling around migration policy and border controls. We'll also share some brighter statistics, the rising number of foreign apprentices shaping the German workforce. For our culture segment, we're uncorking the world of Weinfeste, the vibrant, often overlooked wine festivals that take over German towns and villages in early autumn. If you've ever been curious about those festively decorated market squares and the locals raising glasses of Federweisse, you won't want to miss this. And in our interview, you meet Andresa, a career coach and counselor who specializes in guiding students and newcomers through the twists and turns of the German job market. From building a network, writing standout CVs, and tips for acing interviews, to her own story of starting over in Berlin after moving from Brazil, Andresa offers encouragement and practical advice in equal measure. So grab your coffee or your preferred drink and let's get started. Let's take a look at what's been making headlines in Germany this week. We begin with a new study from the German Institute for Economic Research that highlights growing challenges for refugees in feeling welcome. The sense of being accepted in Germany has steadily declined. While in 2017, over 80% of refugees reported feeling welcome, that number dropped to just 65% last year. Discrimination is now a frequent experience, especially in housing and job applications. And concerns about xenophobia have soared. Over half of refugees now worry about xenophobia, a figure that has nearly doubled since 2017. Researchers found these issues are especially pronounced in eastern regions and among men applying for housing or jobs, while women with medium education levels face higher obstacles in the housing market. Discrimination is not an exception. It's a regular part of their lives, says student author Ellen Heidinger, warning that this trend threatens social cohesion. Turning to migration policy, German Interior Minister Alexander Dobrindt is standing firm on stricter border controls despite legal challenges and criticism over high costs. Since the introduction of tighter checks in May, over 10,000 people, including around 550 asylum seekers, have been turned away at Germany's borders. Critics, including opposition politicians and police unions, question both the legality and efficiency of these measures, as costs have topped 80 million in under a year. Nevertheless, Dobrindt insists that the rejections are key to reshaping Germany's migration landscape and reducing the country's appeal as a top destination. On a brighter note, new statistics show a significant rise in the number of foreign apprentices in Germany. In 2024, over 70,000 foreign nationals began vocational training, a 17% increase from the previous year, while contracts signed by German citizens fell by 4%. The top nationalities among new apprentices were Vietnamese, Syrian, and Ukrainian, with Ukrainian contracts nearly tripling. Today, young people from abroad make up 15% of all new apprentices. And finally, a look ahead. On September 22, Federal Transport Minister Patrick Schnieder is set to announce sweeping reforms to the troubled national rail operator Deutsche Bahn. The shakeup comes after persistent delays and a recent firing of the company's chef, and the government is promising to prioritize thoroughness and diligence before speed in fixing the system. That's your news update. Stay tuned for more on life in Germany. As the vineyards across Germany reached their peak in early September, towns and villages in wine regions come alive with one of the country's most cherished traditions, the Weinfeste or wine festivals. If you haven't experienced a German Weinfest, now is the perfect season to do so. Weinfeste celebrate the grape harvest, a tradition that dates back centuries, especially in areas along the Rhine, Mosel, and Saale rivers. While giant beer tents and Oktoberfest may dominate the headlines, Weinfeste are the heart of Germany's wine culture and offer a more laid-back local alternative. These festivals range from cozy village gatherings to grand city events. Some of the oldest, like the Dürkheimer Wurstmarkt, claim a history reaching back to the 15th century, and the famous Moselfest in Winningen is said to be the oldest wine festival in the country. Traditionally, the main goal was to celebrate and sample the new vintage, but today, they also feature live music, folk dancing, food stalls serving regional specialities, and parades showcasing the local winzer or vintners. The highlight of many Weinfeste is the crowning of the Weinkönigin, the Wine Queen, chosen to present the region's wine for the coming year. As you know by now, Germany has an obsession with appointing royals for everything. September's early autumn atmosphere is ideal for these open-air events. You'll see entire communities turning out to decorate town squares with garlands of hops and bunches of grapes, while visitors relax at wooden tables under chestnut trees. Many wineries open their cellars to the public, offering samples of Federweisse, which is a sweet, cloudy, partially fermented young wine that's only available during harvest time. Weinfeste are also a great opportunity for newcomers and expats to immerse themselves in German culture. Each region has its own twist, from the light crisp Rieslings of the Mosel to the robust reds of Baden-Württemberg. Pair your wine with onion tart, or Zwiebelkuchen, as we say in Germany, or hearty Flammkuchen. Enjoy the lively brass bands and join in a cheerful toast of Zum Wohl, which is the German way to say to your health. Whether you're a wine lover or just looking for a festive way to spend a September weekend, Germany's Weinfeste promise a taste of local hospitality, century-old tradition, and the very best of the season's bounty. So, Prost!
So today, I'm more than happy that Andresa is with us today. So thank you so much, Andresa.
Yeah.
20 years in Berlin.
Well, almost 20 years in Germany. Yes, but 10 years in Berlin. Yes.
Okay, what brought you to Germany?
Yeah, that's an interesting story because my grandfather was German, so I was always very curious about Germany, and I visited for the first time when I was 17. So I came with him to visit some relatives, and I really liked it. So I decided, you know what, next time I want to go back and stay a bit longer. So after I graduated, I applied to do a master's here, and then yeah, and then that's how I came to Germany, and I ended up staying longer than planned.
So you basically come from a very German environment, or at least a little bit German
Yeah.
environment. When you arrived to Germany, did you got to see this part where you said like, oh, that's where it comes from?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think so. My grandfather was always very interested in technology, and you know, he was, I mean, he was so smart, and he was, you know, he was able to fix anything. Any broken, I don't know, piece of equipment you'd bring to him, he would be able to fix. So I think when I came to Germany, I realized that, you know, that there was, you know, because of the automotive industry and, you know, in this tradition of, you know, made in Germany, manufacturing in general, I could see that, you know, they, you know, this engineering excellence, you know, and this strong focus on technology and so on. And yeah, but one thing that really you know, stayed with me was like how organized and clean everything was. You know, it was yeah, it was a different experience. Yeah.
You come from Brazil.
Yes.
So it was a little bit different, also coming from a Latin American country, where
Yeah.
you come here that some people say that in Latin America, girls walk like, like going from hip one side to the next one, whereas German girls go just like on a straight line. Sort of already seen that happening.
Yeah.
And maybe that also has a little bit to do with order. You go from point A to point B.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just on a straight line.
Yeah. And I think Germans are so good at planning, you know. And when you say, you know, walking in a straight line, I also, you know, I'm talking for myself, but I'm someone who doesn't think in a straight line. It's like, you know, if my brain were like a computer, there would be like 20 tabs open at any given time, you know. So yeah, so like, yeah, so I'm always, you know, thinking in different ways, and it's almost never like a straight A to B kind of thing.
We can definitely relate that. And your job at the moment here is?
Yes, so to sum it up, I help mostly international students navigate the German job market. So I'm a career coach and a career counselor in a business school, and I support our students, you know, to write great CVs and prepare for interviews and find internships and, you know, learn how important it is to network and so on, you know, so that they can be really well prepared when it's time, you know, to finish their degree and look for a full-time job. Yeah.
How did you arrive to this particular work field?
Yeah, you know, I did not have a master plan. It was, as many things in my life, it was kind of by chance. So I did my master's here, and then I did a PhD. So I stayed in university for a long time because I really liked the environment. And I had different jobs during my studies. You know, I worked with marketing and PR. I also worked with mobility programs like Erasmus. And at one point, I had the opportunity to try career services. And I said yes, because I really enjoy working with students. And yeah, and then I kind of found my calling. Yes. So that's how it happened. And it was quite over 8 years ago. Yeah. So I have been working with this for a while. And I find it very rewarding also because I get to share my experience as well, because I was once a job seeker in Germany, and I still know how lost I felt. And I always think, you know what, if I had someone, you know, in my corner, you know, someone to guide me and, you know, to share some advice, I think I would have arrived at my destination a bit sooner. But you know, it's all part of learning process. It's okay.
Definitely. Yeah. And in general, migrating is a learning process, an ever learning process. You never stopped learning it.
Mm.
How was it for you to come from Brazil, even though you had this family and some idea already of how Germany was? How was it for you the first years in Germany?
I think it was fascinating and hard at the same time, because you know, I'm very close with my family, so I, you know, it's you know, my parents live still in Brazil, my brother, and now, you know, my niece, my nephew. So it's especially, you know, special dates, it's hard to be away from home, you know, and Brazil is always going to be my home. Yeah, but it was fascinating because, you know, suddenly I had access to so many opportunities that I did not have before. And, you know, and suddenly I was also, you know, studying and working with people from all over the world, which is an experience I did not have in Brazil. And I think this really helped me to grow a lot personally. You know, it expands your horizons in a way, you know, that, you know, it's really incredible. But I mean, it was hard, but I think I grew a lot. I became more independent, more open-minded. And things happened in my life that I never imagined, you know, great things. So I'm glad that I took a chance and, you know, decided to fulfill this dream of studying in Germany.
If you think back, what would it Do you have any suggestions or any specific tip that you would give yourself 20 years ago?
Oh, wow. yeah, maybe I would do more research, you know, to really maybe have a better idea of what to expect and what the possible obstacles would be. Because, you know, back then, I mean, we already had internet, but it's not like today, you know, that, you know, you can find out everything about a place before you go there. But one thing that I did, and I think I did right, was to learn German. I think that helped me a lot. That opened many doors. So if I would change anything, might be to, start learning German even earlier, or even a more intense way than I did. Yeah.
I always also believe that you have to have patience with yourself.
Yeah.
Because you come here and you want to master everything, mm-hmm. and you want to have the same feeling of stability from going from your home country here. And even though I've been already 14 years in this country,
mm-hmm.
there's no one single day where I said like, oh, I already arrived, because something comes up. And I do believe that you have to have some patience with yourself, mm-hmm. and know that this is becoming your home. But on the other side, you're also evolving with the city, especially with Berlin.
Yeah,
I believe that we forget how new Berlin is, how we are living in this amazing place that it's still evolving, because it's not a capital. I mean, it's not London, it is not Paris, it is not Madrid. Mm. It is a new capital that it's kind of under construction all the time, such as yourself, I guess.
Yes, yes, definitely.
So you have the chance to explore all of this new ways of being part of a new country or a new city,
mm.
but also sometimes you want to just pay with card.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I always say, you know, Berlin it doesn't feel like Germany. It's like a different country. and I love Berlin for this, you know, because it's just so colorful, and it's I do feel at home here. You know, it's when I go to Brazil every year, and then it's amazing. I have a great time. But then, you know, when I come back to Berlin, it's like, oh, you know, I'm going back home in a way. You know, it feels welcoming. You know, it's like a city that challenges you but also embraces you. I feel, yeah. But and it's changing constantly. You know, it's never it's challenging, yes, but never boring.
Never boring. And in general, I believe that the German culture is never boring. And before we leave you, because you're a student expert, and we have one of our best students here with us today, so she is going to be the one that's going to continue
everything.
Yes, she will ask everything. So we will put you on test. But before we get to that, so there was just want to pick your brains about this, because 2 days ago, there was this news saying that the Bundesnachrichtendienst,
mm-hmm.
They were not relying on ChatGPT or DeepL or anything to do translations.
Mm.
Because, of course, Datenschutz.
Yes.
And it was very controversial, because with a couple of people that were working on the HR business that not really understood why. Why has it been this resistance,
mm-hmm.
on using AI tools? Yet on the other side, I believe it's very important to point out that Germans are very skeptical,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost. Second, you don't really know where AI or where your information is going to end up. I mean, coming from an HR mm-hmm. department, and the whole process was that if I get someone, a translator, to translate it, is he or she going to make more fehler? Oh God, now I cannot see
mistakes.
Mistakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to be more reliable or less reliable than an AI?
That's a good question. And I think we need to find kind of a middle ground. We need to embrace AI to a point. Yeah, I mean, it's otherwise we'll be left behind. But I still think it's not something that you can trust 100%. So, I think a human always needs to check the final result first. And if I can make a parallel, this is what we, for example, when we advise our students on writing cover letters, we say, yes, go ahead, use ChatGPT, use any tools you want, but, you need to pay attention to the final result, to the version that you are going to send out into the world. It needs to be read by a human, it needs to be you or a friend or your careers advisor. But it's not, no tool is going to deliver this letter to you ready, So yeah, I think we need to find a middle ground, to give that final approval, I think a human needs to do that, because a human, knows what the, what the requirements are, what the ethical aspects, of that project are, and so on. So I think, we need to meet somewhere there in the middle. That would be mine.
Are the people from the other side, the ones that are receiving the cover letters, are they also humans? Or is it more and more instrumented to go through a filter?
Yeah, this is also a very good question. So in Germany, as far as I know, according to the people I talk to, there are still humans reading cover letters. And these humans can also tell from miles away if that cover letter was written by a robot. Yeah, so that's why we say, it's worth spending some time making sure that it sounds human. Yeah, but in Germany, it's still, I think it's still very human-centered, this whole process for now.
I still believe, even though I sometimes have my concerns about digitalization in Germany, mm-hmm. especially because, again, you want to pay yeah. with a card. On the other side, you also understand that you need this human touch.
Yes.
And of course, you don't know where you're putting your whole information in. I mean, you're putting it on ChatGPT. You're telling them basically everything about you.
Yes.
So I, on the side of the Bundesnachrichtdienst, I thought that, well, it actually makes sense because they're like very strict,
yeah,
very important things there that they're just putting into ChatGPT or DeepL that you don't know where they're going to go.
Yes, yes.
So even though, again, I would love to pay everything card all around it,
yes.
I also like the idea that if something will happen in Germany, at least you will still have people behind things.
Yeah, yeah.
You will still have a function in fax that will probably help us out.
Yeah.
Because if the electrician goes, electricity goes in Mexico, you're done.
Okay. Well, yes.
But anyhow, Andresa, yes, before we get yeah. into that,
yes, yes.
I'm going to change gears with you, mm-hmm. because we have Ruf Ruf here. She comes from Pakistan, and she's been studying here for just over 5 months.
Oh, wow.
So let's see what she has to ask you.
Hello. Hi, how
Hi,
are you?
Hi, I'm good.
So I was part of the entire interview. I was listening from the other side. Mm-hmm. So like Sigrid said, I came to Berlin 5 months ago, not 5 years. And obviously I came as a student. So there are a lot of things that, comes into your mind when you were here. And obviously in 2025 after COVID. So one of my first questions to you is, how has the job market changed from COVID-19? And what should people expect when they're coming to Berlin? Or Germany in general?
Yeah, I was having a conversation around that topic today with a friend of mine. The job market, it has shifted. Maybe let's say within 1 year, it's now an employer job market. that means that employers, they can pick and choose, you know, because you know, there are so many qualified candidates looking for positions that they can, you know, kind of, you know, raise the demand. Pick and choose, yes. So that means that candidates, you know, job seekers, they need to make an extra effort to find, you know, that that opportunity. And networking is a big part of it. When I talk about it, I know many people are like, but what's networking about? It's really about building relationships. And it's something that takes time, but can be really effective. You know, when you come to a position where you are, you know, looking for a job, and then you have people to talk to, people to introduce you, people to give you a referral, and things like that. Another thing that we have noticed is more and more jobs are requiring German. And, you know, in a city like Berlin, which is famous for being so international, where people will really come here thinking, you know, I don't need fluent German to find a job. And then they realize, oh, it's actually harder than I thought it would be.
Trust me, I know.
So that's why, you know, one piece of advice I always share is like, learn German. You know, it doesn't need to be perfect. But, you know, if you are competing with people who have like no German, then you are already a step ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So in terms of like the two points you've said, the first is networking and the second is German, where I'm lacking, for instance. Because in terms of networking, I understand it's important when you meet people, and then that's how I obviously got my first working student job. But in terms of that, what skills are people looking at in terms of, because every industry is different, and from your perspective and the students you deal with in the business school, what skills are employers looking for in this day and age?
So to give, maybe I can give you some insights, because where I work at, so our students, you know, this business school, our students, they have a mandatory internship. And then we always ask employers exactly that, okay, what kind of skills are you looking for? So we can make sure that, you know, they are well prepared. Communication skills are very important. Also data analysis skills. And, you know, it's for different kinds of positions. It's not only, you know, like data analyst or business intelligence positions, things like that. Adaptability, because the world is changing very fast, and you know, you need to stay flexible and adapt, and and the, you know, the usual things like being able to work in a team, you know, being proactive.
If somebody is a recent graduate, for instance, who's just done their bachelor's and they're coming for master's, like at the age of 22 23 years old, and they're just coming to Germany in about a few months, like the winter session is going to start. How do you, like, what do you suggest those people should do in their home countries before coming in to adapt to these, you know, requirements that you've just stated, like in a short span of time, something to get under their belt before they come here?
The first thing that pops to mind is LinkedIn. I know that it's very, you know, very popular in many countries. But I noticed that when students arrive, sometimes their LinkedIn is not it's not updated, or they are not engaging on LinkedIn. And I mean, LinkedIn is like, it's your portal to a world of opportunity. So this would be my advice. You know, you can, I mean, there's just so much information. You can look for a course, maybe, you know, how to boost your LinkedIn profile, something like that, and then just update your LinkedIn. Start, you know, connecting with people in your industry, following companies that you find interesting, following LinkedIn top voices. Also, you know, if you know to which school you're going to, connect with alumni from that school, maybe with students who did an internship that, you know, you would also like to do, you know, things like that. LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. So I think with Blue barking at us, we will let you go because we've had you for a while. Thank you so much. And is it possible that we can put out your details so that if people want to reach out to you from our platforms?
I'm always happy about LinkedIn connections. And maybe a final piece of advice for students. When you send someone a request, you know, write a short message.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always used to ask that one. I thought it was not important, but thank you so much. We will. And have a lovely day. And thank you for coming.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Hello, I want to ask a German what a Schultüte is. I have been seeing kids going around with this, you know, cone type of a bag, and I would really like to know what's inside it. So thank you.
So you've already heard some Germans talk about Schultüte that children receive on their first day of school. If you try translating it directly into English, you might have thought it means a school bag or backpack. But a Schultüte is something quite different and much more special. A Schultüte is a large cone-shaped gift bag, often made from sturdy paper and decorated with colorful ribbons and motifs. It's usually about 70 to 85 centimeters tall, and it's filled to the brim with sweets, small toys, stationery, and little surprises to celebrate the child's big step into the serious side of life, starting school. This tradition dates back more than 200 years, beginning in the early 19th century in the German regions of Saxony and Thuringia. Originally, these cones were simple paper bags filled with dried fruit like raisins. Over time, the content grew to include chocolates, pencils, erasers, and all kinds of goodies. Back then, the cones were not given directly to children, but hung on a special Schultütenbaum or school cone tree at the school. Children would pick their cones in a ritual that added a little magic and excitement to their first day. Today, the Schultüte is presented to children on the morning for their first day at primary school, often accompanied by family members who come to celebrate this important milestone. Sometimes siblings get smaller cones too, so the whole family can join in the joy. Many families buy pre-made Schultüten, which you can find in shops with a wide range of themes, from favorite cartoon characters to LED lights and sounds. Others prefer crafting them by hand, turning decorating into a fun family activity. Packing a Schultüte is an art. It should be filled so that the tip doesn't collapse, but not so heavy as that the child can't carry it. Popular items include sweets, crayons, small toys, school supplies, lucky charms, and even vouchers for activities like going to the zoo or cinema. Children usually wait until after the first day to open their Schultüte, making it something to look forward to after school. The Schultüte tradition is unique to Germany and some neighboring countries like Austria and the Czech Republic, marking a joyful start to a new chapter in a child's life. And it's not only for school kids. For example, my best friend gave me a Schultüte when I was starting university. Of course, she changed the use of things to something that would be more helpful for my new journey. In essence, the Schultüte is a charming, colorful way to encourage and celebrate learning, blending sweets and surprises with a little magic to make the first day of school feel a little bit easier and a lot more exciting. That's all for this week's episode of Plus 49. A special thank you to our guest Andresa for sharing her insights on navigating the German job market and offering inspiration from her own Berlin journey. If any of today's stories resonated with you, or if you learned something new, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and pass it along to a friend moving to or living in Germany. You can find us on Instagram for behind-the-scenes moments and event tips throughout the week. I'm Marlene Bacher. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more news, culture, and stories from across Germany. Until then, maybe raise a glass at your local wine fest and soak in the start of autumn. Tschüss!